Episode number 143.
And we're getting so much news from comedians today. You know, they're able to find that quirkiness and bring the irony to the stage that we can all go, yeah, that's ironic, really? Yeah. You know?
Welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis Too Tall and Hop, where we talk about life, dreams, social media, and business.
Well, hello, and welcome to the Be Real Show with Travis Too Tall and Huff. Folks, I am fired up today, and I'm just loving the energy of our next guest because I'm pumped because I'm bringing you our featured guest today, Lee Caraher. Lee, are you ready to be real?
Ready to be real, Travis. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Lee is the CEO of Double Forte PR and Digital Marketing, an acclaimed communication strategist. She is known for bringing her practical solutions to big problems, and her company works with some of the top consumer and technology brands in the country. And Lee is also an author, and she has written the book Millennials and Management based on her experiences with falling and then succeeding, which I love that. And then also her second book, The Boomerang Principle. And Lee is also up in the San Francisco Bay Area, and she has her husband, her two sons, and a blind cat. So, Lee, we appreciate you having you on the show today. How's your day going today?
You know, it is a good day today.
It is a good day.
Like, every day is a good day.
Absolutely.
Every day is potentially be a good day.
I like Double Forte, the name. I like
Thank
the name.
You.
What made you create that? Well, what made you create the business?
So, Double Forte is a public relations and social media firm. It's founded it 16 years ago next week.
Wow. Congratulations.
And, thank you. And, I didn't imagine that, frankly. But 17 years ago, after 9/11, I had a moment in time where I was like, you know what? I do not want to do what I'm still doing. And I exercised my contract at the company I was with, which was a huge public relations firm. And my intention was to take a year off. Well, I didn't do that because I drove my husband crazy.
He said, get out there and get your own thing going.
Basically, he's like, well, so I'm the chief bacon officer. He's the chief home officer.
Ah.
And he's like, you know, we're not going to make it if you are glue gunning and doing laundry systems and label making the whole house, man. We're just not going to make it as a couple. You better get back to work. So I took that to heart and realized as I was glue gunning, you know, my 19th wreath for the front door.
Right.
I'm just not good at it.
Like, frankly, this is not my job.
if I had been good at it, I mean, I would have turned that into a business, but I suck at that. So I was looking for work, and I was really far down the path on landing one of two great jobs as VP of communications in one and chief communications officer in the other. And my mom, who lived in Wisconsin, I live in California, was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer.
Oh, wow.
And she was only given 4 months to live.
Oh, my God.
And it was very clear right that moment. I was like, well, I got to go to Wisconsin.
Yes.
So I pulled myself out of those two job hunts because I realized I'd either get fired or I'd quit really quick. Right.
Right.
And in the end, my mom lived for 4 years, which was a huge gift. And in the end, I was like, you know what? I need freedom. I need to be where I need to be to take care of my family. And so I started my own company in 2002, really out of the need to A, have income,
yes,
and B, have income that allowed me to do what I need to do in my family.
Control your time. Control your freedom. Control of your life.
Well, I don't, you know, be able to, when you can say where you're going to be and not have it impact your work, for me, that was, became one of the things that we measure our success on, not just profit. So that's how I started the company. And I didn't really think anything. I was like, I just have to get through this moment in time. And here we are 16 years later, the company's changed dramatically over, you know, I started my company before Twitter, before LinkedIn, before Facebook.
Sure.
And now about probably 60% of our business is in social media or related to social media now.
Right.
So it's been quite a ride.
Yes, absolutely. And so really when you started, it was primarily a public relations.
Correct. Media relations.
And yes.
Yep.
as everything is evolving, everything is moving together. It's everyone's a media source, and
exactly everyone's a media channel for sure.
Yeah, and you know, it's all about getting their clients in front of those right eyeballs or listeners, and that it can really impact their business. We had a guest on earlier that said she was on a podcast, and she directly correlated that podcast to $26,000 in sales.
Wow, good for her.
Pretty good. I mean, when you think about it, I mean that's direct dollars in your business from some of your time that you enjoy, you know, taking, you know, the time to spend, you know, interviewing. And
exactly.
And it keeps you on your toes too. I think the fun part about being a podcast guest or even being on a podcast and running your own podcast is it keeps you on your toes each week. You're interviewing
absolutely
new people that are challenging your thoughts and challenging your ideas. And also for me, I just always knew that I was never going to be able to meet all these people physically.
Exactly.
And, you know, time versus money. And then also just these people probably don't want to meet me just because I email them and call and say, hey, you know, Travis up here. I got a social media business and love to pick your brain for a little while versus, you know, hey, let's talk about you for 30 minutes to an hour. And then also I get a ton of little nuggets that I get to throw in there too. So it was sometimes the best things you do are selfishly. You know, and it keeps you passionate, you know, so
absolutely.
Shout out to you too, then, for evolving your business, because as we know in marketing and advertising, the business is always evolving. When I started, I was in ABC television, and ABC television looks completely different now, you know?
Oh my goodness.
And the whole point is that there's just now social and digital and all this stuff that we're embracing now. The one I'm really intrigued by is Amazon advertising, you know, like how's that going to impact our clients? Are we going to be able to you know, run tons of full scale campaigns for just regular clients that don't have Amazon? Let's say someone's looking for a, you know, social media book and we pop up or someone's looking for PR, you know, a PR book and you can pop up in the mix of the listings, you know, for people in San Francisco. That would be beneficial, right? So I think they're trying to figure that out because Amazon has built a big advertising business now. And
it's amazing.
I'm blown away because they're saying the majority of people now are going to Amazon to search first, even before Google. So, wow. Let's just think about that in itself and that it's a search engine, you know? Who'd have thought it? Who'd have thought?
Amazon's often the first result in a Google search too.
That's a good point too.
If you double down on that, then
yes,
absolutely. So they've done such a great job, and you know, just the Prime membership alone,
right?
Right before I got here, I got into the podcast room here. I was on Amazon because I forgot to get my supplement. So I was like, I gotta get that done. Otherwise I won't remember. And sure enough, they're like, Lee, you haven't done this or this or this yet. Oh yeah. Sorry. You know, they know a lot about me. Don't piss them off.
And the best part too, is that it simplifies if you had to take a bunch of trips to different stores for these things, you know?
Exactly.
That's my number one reason why I love Amazon the most, besides obviously the convenience and the things, you know, packages showing up to your house, is it just eliminates you having to go from this store, the vitamin shop, and now I got to go into Target and deal with these knuckleheads, and now I got to go into the next store. Like I was telling my wife about, we were in Babies R Us shopping. Well, they're not in business anymore, but we were shopping there 5-6 months ago, and I said, this company's going out of business. There's a line of people trying to just exit. They're just trying to get their purchase shop, and there's no one wanting to help us.
Right.
There's like 20 people waiting in line. I'm like, no one wants to wait in line, folks. We want to shop and then we want to leave. We don't want to wait. We don't have to want to wait.
We want to give you our money.
Right.
Please let us give you our money.
As fast as possible. Please. As fast as possible. You scan my retina. Take my social security.
Exactly.
Whatever you need to do. Let's just make this fast and easy.
That's awesome.
Because that's the thing I find with Amazon is just you make your cart and then it shows up. It's easy, you know. It's not an experience where you're sitting there waiting and someone's sitting there BSing each customer saying, hey, how's it going? How's your day going? How's the kids doing? You know, it's like, yeah, that's nice if you have the time, but when there's 20 people waiting, you know how that feels. Yeah. Everyone's pissed off. And
it's still like going to Costco though.
Oh, I love shopping. No, I love shopping.
Going to Costco.
Yeah, no, I love shopping. I think that shopping, as they've even, you know, seen lately, everyone thought Amazon was going to eat everyone's lunch. And as you're seeing in these latest earnings reports, Target has had more people in their stores than ever before in history.
They're doing a great job.
So Target, shout out to them. Obviously, yep. Walmart too is doing good. They're just evolving. They're just evolving their business model, making it more convenient with the kind of like you put together your online shopping, and then it has it ready for you to pick up, you know, yep. at the store. Makes Smart sense. Step. Just makes sense. So shout out to you for evolving. I think that's the biggest thing that you can do in this industry, right? Is
any industry, frankly. Right. If you're not learning, I mean, I think, you know, lifelong learning has always been an advantage, but today it's a necessity. If you are not learning all the time, you're going to find yourself irrelevant pretty fast. Mm. And, you know, as a business owner, my job, and a service provider, my job here is to make sure that we are as relevant as possible in the marketplace that we're in. We don't want to be so far ahead that we're bug splat on the windshield.
Right.
We've caught ourselves a couple of times being a little behind because we got complacent. I didn't realize it was complacency until after the fact. Yeah. But now very much, my job is to be a little ahead of my staff and my clients so that, and so actually for me being a guest on podcasts, because I do a lot of this, it's so helpful for me to hear what the podcasters are hearing, right?
Yes,
because
absolutely,
I listen to a lot of podcasts. I love talking to hosts because they're, you know, the good hosts like yourself, because I've listened to some of your shows.
Thank you.
Are prepared. They come prepared. They come interested. They become, you know, and they come informed. And that helps me stay ahead just thinking, right? Because there's just not enough time in the day. And how can you multitask and get two first gun?
You're educating, you're doing continually education, and you're also getting your brand out there, you know?
Yeah.
So those that are listening and thinking, think about podcasting as far as either starting your own show or a strategy to just trying to get on more and more shows, because it's a great way. The podcast lives forever. As we grow, more people are going to listen to our past shows, you know, just like we have for the last 2.5 years. Yeah. And at some point you build a point where people are booking their guests on your show. And that's Absolutely. When you know you've built something where people want to be there. And so,
exactly.
And it's a dual win, like you said, for your guests as well as for you. And in this world, more and more people are using podcasts and audio, as we've experienced with Alexa and these audio, artificial intelligence devices and things. I think audio is the big win. You know,
I think audio is a big one for lots of reasons, right? One is because it's intimate. It's in your ears, right? You can't do other stuff. You can like mow your lawn or, you know, clean your house when you do it, but you can't, when you're doing a video, you have to watch the video to see it, right?
Right.
So the audio is great for being able to do other things. The other thing about podcasts, it's a link builder, man.
Oh, yeah.
You have your podcast, then you have your show notes, then you pull everybody to your blog. I mean, it is something that, you don't have to actually have anybody listen to your podcast, which would be unfortunate, but you don't have to have anyone listen to your podcast for it to be a successful marketing tool.
Yep.
So
it builds credibility. Yeah. I mean,
it's a lot of work, man. It's a lot of work. And
you're
if you get past 25, you know, shows, you are already in the top 30%. So, but it is worth the effort. It is worth the effort. We produce at my company. We produce a couple of podcasts.
Oh, really? Okay.
For other people.
Oh, okay. For your clients.
Such a core part of communication is getting into people's ears. Anyway.
Smart.
There you go.
Hey, no, that's a way of evolving. I like that. You're helping your customers produce the podcast.
Exactly.
I love that. I think that's huge because obviously not only providing value for them, but then, you know, all the other things that go with the promoting the podcast and all the other things you can do with that. So that is cool. I've never heard of too many agencies doing that.
Yeah. It should be the center. I really believe that if companies aren't considering some podcast strategy, they are missing out on being able to control what they say. I mean, just, we're all looking for the ability to say what we want. Companies are, people are, and podcasting is the best way to do it. You have to do it well, though. You know, don't do it crappy.
Right. And the biggest thing people do is they give up.
Because it's work.
It takes work. It's like a blog. It's like anything. It's like you have to show up, even those days you don't feel greatest.
Exactly.
And I found as a podcaster, the biggest thing I have to have is I have to just narrow it down to one day that I do the shows. And that way I have... batch them up and I have a lot of energy. I have a lot of energy as we go, you know, because I'm getting into the routine. if I was doing it for a while where I was doing it like every day, I would do it for like 1 hour.
Oh, no.
And then it was too much because it was like throw off the vibe. And it was, so you have to just find that little sweet spot for you. I know everyone does it differently, but it is work. It is not easy, but it's the lightest work you can do as far as it's not a lot of time.
It's the gift that keeps on giving, man.
Yeah. You're building a friendship with someone. You're building a bridge with someone across the country, or in this case, we're in the same state, but the point is we may never have bumped into each other and now we know each other, and I might be able to help you and vice versa and give you some ideas, vice versa. And most importantly, our listeners find value from what you say and it impacts their campaign.
Exactly.
So they take it seriously. Say, hey, Lee said, I need to go all in on podcasting. And I did a podcast because of that. You know, that in a way, I feel like in this life, you obviously have intrinsic, you know, these different types of rewards. That's one that you might never get paid for in money, but it goes a long way. Your energy did something good for someone else. You know, your positivity did something good for someone. And
I totally
need more of that. We need more of that.
We need more of that, man. We need more of that.
Right. And laughter, too. I see that part of your life is kind of having a fun time with it. Is that also, would you say in a social media or digital campaign that there's a piece to having a little fun, having a lighthearted meme day or doing things like that that are shareable quotes and things?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, a sense of humor, even in a tough situation, helps people get through it. Helps people connect with you. Helps even if it's a tough subject.
Yeah.
Being able to have a sense of humor, you know, so many memes are, if we just look at this week, so we're recording on, what is it, August 23rd. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been a big week in Washington.
Yes. And, oh, yeah, absolutely.
The memes that come out of you know, some of them are really funny.
Right.
They're funny, right? And you can get engaged in a topic with humor. Like, oh, why is that so funny? Then you peel the onion. Oh, my gosh, that's going on. Oh, my gosh, that's going on.
Right.
And I think that is why so much of our news is being delivered through comedians.
Mm.
Some of the smartest people on the planet are comedians. And, you know, they have to be super relevant.
Right.
And usually, you know, and we're getting so much news from comedians today.
Yep.
Because people are able, you know, they're able to find that quirkiness and bring the irony to the stage that we can all go, yeah, that's ironic, really, you know?
Right. Humanizes the the situation instead of it being from ABC 7. Which KG, hey, they're very accredited. They've got all the accolades, but we know what the news does. I mean, you turn on the news, it's like murder, death, crime, fires.
Yeah. And then the last minute is something, and sweet puppies.
Yeah, right. 2 seconds. Oh, hey, congratulations. You can eat ice cream today. Well, should have started with that one because I would actually watch. They're in a business where if they don't change, will they be disrupted more? It makes me kind of curious because they've been, since I have transitioned into this business, I've seen their business change tremendously.
Oh, yeah, tremendously.
On the sales side, you know, scaling things down, cutting out tons of wasted, or if you want to call it jobs, they would call waste, but they're real jobs, people, you know, not there anymore. Is their business still going to be disrupted? Because are they finding news through comedians? Are they finding it through a new podcast that they're, being the San Francisco local podcast that is people are listening to over KGO now because it's more authentic, it's fun, it's lighthearted. They're not I feel like they're so much in a business where they have to keep you like staying tuned.
Yeah.
They forget that like people's positivity are tied to this, you know, all we want to see is just bad stuff for like, you know, an hour at night, every night. I mean, that's why people like Jimmy Fallon and Jimmy Kimmel and Conan at night at 11 o'clock before bed is because we don't want to have nightmares. is it that hard to understand, guys? I mean,
Well, I think that's one of the reasons that public media, public radio, public television, and public online has grown so much in the last 4 years.
Yeah.
I mean, we're at KQED, which is the local market here in San Francisco. And I was, full disclosure, I was on the board of that organization for 9 years.
Oh, wow.
But the audience, you know, so we're in the epicenter of public media, you know, central, because we over-index in people who have more than one degree and over-index in lifelong learners. We just over-index in everything. In San Francisco, it's a little bizarre market that way. But every channel. I mean, there isn't a social media, there isn't a public media station that hasn't seen growth in some way, shape, or form. And some of the things that they are able to experiment with because they have to serve the public and has helped them grow, right? So the podcast coming out of public media, the different stations, NPR, PBS.
Yes.
This is stuff that's going to get on the air and be in your ear in a podcast and then live on the website and then go into an email. Some of the stuff that's going on public news and public media is really innovative, and it's really forced by the fact that their members will tell them if they can't raise the money, it's not going to happen. And that news doesn't work that way, right?
Right.
And with so many news channels that are not OTB, like OTA, over the air,
right?
And you see what happens in cable news, right? It gets really niche down, to the it's farcical on both sides, right?
It's like too extreme on both sides,
right? But the bulk of us are the 80% in the bell curve, right? Yep.
We see all points of view in a way. We're human.
And that's where public media is killing it.
Gotcha.
Killing it.
Because they're bringing in arts and culture, and they're talking about history.
They don't have a choice.
They're talking about the news. They're talking about all these different interesting topics, not just this negative stuff.
Exactly.
You know, on both sides.
So they don't have to satisfy, you know, a public media station knows they're doing well when they get complaints from the left and the right.
Got you. And they're based on donations, so they don't have to necessarily serve any specific agenda, if you want to call it that. Very interesting, folks. I love this. And now, Lee, we're about to enter your mindset with some B-realisms, okay?
Ready.
Let's do this. If you could hop on a plane to SFO or Oakland today, go anywhere in the world, where would it be?
I would go to Norway.
Ooh, nice. What draws you to Norway? That sounds very...
I visited last year for about a week, and wasn't enough time. It's such an amazing. It's just so interesting. My son was there this summer for school.
Oh wow!
And I just want to explore more.
That is cool. Is there? I always love the food. Is there a certain type of food that stuck out to you that was different there than anywhere else?
First, the breakfast is so. Their food is so different than ours.
The Norway breakfast.
Breakfast was great, and the Bergen fish stew, I just can't get enough of.
Bergen fish stew.
Yes.
Interesting. I always love how different areas have different, you know, really amazing dishes.
Yeah.
And then they don't usually travel well. Like, Mexican food doesn't usually travel well to...
No.
In Italy, they don't make really great Mexican food.
Like, when I go, I spend a lot of time in New York, I'm like, I'm not going to have Mexican food in New York.
Right.
I like Puerto Rican food in New York, but I'm not going to have Mexican food in New York.
Cuban food, exactly.
Exactly.
Now, also, can you share with us, how do you start your day? What do you do to get yourself in the mindset of a big day? How do you get going? How do you motivate yourself?
So, usually, it's I'm up with my, up a little before my kids, and I just make sure I'm checking on the day. I check in the day the night before, but sometimes things change overnight for me because I have people all over the world, actually. So I check in and make sure nothing changed.
Different agendas on different
exactly. Yeah. Like, what the hell happened?
Right.
And then I check in with my husband. How are we doing? Make sure we are on the same page for the day. And then I'm out the door pretty quickly.
Gotcha.
I commute to work, so I get to the train station and I
do the BART.
I do BART in, and then I read or I listen to a podcast on the way in.
Nice. So you're productive with your mornings.
It gets me started. If I can, when I'm writing books, so I've written a couple books, I get up at 4:30, and that's when I write. I write between 4:30 and 6:30. That's when I'm most.
So that's your your morning, the early morning gives you the best time to kind of stay focused.
Because no one's bugging me.
Yeah. Also, sometimes when you find that when you get going too far in your day, all your thoughts and ideas kind of ran out, you know, 3 or 4 o'clock.
Gotta be fresh.
Like, yeah, good point. Everyone's different, right? But I think the morning provides that for you. You know, like
exactly
whatever that is, if it's something, a big goal of yours, get it done in the morning, and then the rest of the day becomes a lot easier if you know you've written a chapter in your book today, you know? Mm-hmm.
So true.
Something big, that, you know, instead of just obviously answering emails or responding to fires that we got to fight in our businesses.
Exactly.
Also, can you share with us, is there a skill that you want to master? Is there something you really are focused on mastering this year?
I've been, well, no, I've been, I mean, there's lots of skills that I'm working on. So right. I'm working on actually, the editing of video. Cause I,
oh, nice. Nice.
And I think we're all going to have to know to do that. So, and I demand that my staff knows a lot of things. And if I don't know them, I don't think it's very authentic for me to demand it of them.
Right.
So I'm working on that. And if it was a new skill, it would not be work related. I would like to learn how to sail.
Ooh, I like that.
But I'm not going to tackle that this year.
We had a guest on, and what he did was every year he really learned a new skill.
Oh, wow.
So he went all in on a skill instead of, like, you know, most people, oh, we're going to pick it up here and there, and then we try to do something else. And then he stuck to that same one for the whole year. So he,
that's great.
He actually did learn how to become a sailing. He learned one year how to do the different instruments that they use on the sailboat, so he could actually go sail around the world if he needed to or wanted to. And it's just interesting when you go all in on something for a longer term than just like just testing it, you know, like, oh, I'm going to do it. But you set it out as a goal that you can really get become somewhat of an expert on something, you know, and you can, if you look at it in a long life, you can learn a lot of different skills that way. So shout out to you. You're going to be doing some sailing around my favorite area is the Berkeley Marina.
Yes. Like so much fun.
Doubletree at Berkeley Marina is one of my favorite hotels because it's a very, you know, cost efficient, but you also don't have to deal with too much traffic or parking and can get into the city easy. But it's got the most beautiful view of the city and the Golden Gate and nice little pathways right there and a lot of beautiful sailboats. So I envision you getting your sailboat right there and sailing the ocean seas, my friend, wherever you want to go.
I like it. To Norway.
To Norway we go.
It's very cold in the winter.
Nice and slow. Take it easy.
And the North Sea.
I love that. Now, also, do you have a favorite podcast that you enjoy listening to? Is there something, a podcast on your docket that you just pick up every week and then really
enjoy? Yeah.
Really
like? You know, this summer, I've never been a huge soccer fan, but this summer I watched World Cup. I am addicted to World Cup. And there is a podcast. So I have several favorite podcasts, but this one I just look for. It's not regular, so I'm all the time on my app going, is it up? Is it up?
Is it up? Is there a new one?
It's called Men in Blazers.
Men in Blazers.
And it's all about football.
Nice.
And MLS and Premier League and Bootengel. I mean, I can't even say the words. And La Liga. And they're on NBC Sports as well. Okay. But, oh my gosh, I am obsessed.
Entertaining. It's an entertaining show. It sounds like they have some good...
I'm learning about... So, I'm in. Like, I fell in love with the English team.
Yep.
And I know all the... I don't know who all the players are. I don't know.
Uh-oh.
And I'm getting up at 4 o'clock on Saturday mornings to watch
soccer. Oh, yeah, to watch the early mornings.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, my gosh. What the heck?
The thing that's about soccer is people think it's slow and then until you really understand it, you know, or played it.
I played field hockey in college and high school, and it's a lot. It's very different. I mean, it's just like it. No, it's such a different game.
Yeah, field hockey is a little more fast, right? A little more fast,
faster,
a little more scoring.
Well, it's a different, smaller ball, all these different things. But now I'm getting into it. So Men in Blazers, I love it. And I'll listen to things over again. If I like the podcast, I will go back and listen again if it's
nice.
Fun.
I like that. Because sometimes you have to do that because otherwise it's not going to get into your mind, right? I mean, otherwise it kind of – or it's just entertaining. It's just like, hey, I want to remember that.
These guys are hysterical. Oh, my gosh.
Men in Blazers. I'm gonna have to look at that one.
Men in Blazers.
Men in Blazers.
Their last one was Monday, and they were hosted at the British Embassy in Washington, D.C.
Oh, wow.
And they were talking about the last weekend in Premier League and also in the MLS, the D.C. team. And it's very in the know in the soccer football world.
It keeps you updated quickly.
Well,
while you're on your commute.
I'm figuring it out, man. I'm figuring out what team is going to be mine.
What team is going to be Leeds? What team is going to be Leeds?
Right now, Manchester City's in the lead, but Everton's coming up from the low end. I'm not really sure. So I listen and I'm all in.
Just keep it. It's fun to have things you like, you know. Passions. You can't be all business, all work. You got to have some fun time. You got to have some things you enjoy.
So true.
So, and that's the best part,
man.
That's the best part about being an entrepreneur is that you get to have these times, you know, to do whatever you got to do, you know, watch sports, listen to podcasts, go on a trip to Norway, travel the seas with your laptop, you know, it doesn't matter. But now we're about to take you to the hot seat where you can share some last minute phenomenal resources and a couple more real talk answers today for lunch. Cause I know it's around lunchtime around there right now.
It is.
If you could take anyone in the world to lunch, who would it be?
Michelle Obama.
Oh, nice. Talk about a powerful woman.
She's awesome.
And honestly, I just love their relationship. Mm-hmm. And I think that obviously she's probably just got a lot of interesting stories to tell you because the things she's seen, obviously with being in that such a position and then also, you know, dealing with the scrutiny and the press and all that kind of stuff too. And how she seems so resilient and does not react to that kind of stuff, which is, and it's obviously 100% by her husband. So
yeah,
which, you know, obviously as anyone in a relationship wants to feel like their partner supports them. And I always felt that from her more than any of the other past presidents as a kid growing up, it was like, dang, she's behind her husband, but then you don't want to mess with her, man. She's got some guns. She'll be working you, man. She'll be working you in that UFC ring. She'll be getting you in the octagon. She'll put you in the headlock. Also, can you share with us, do you have a favorite internet app or tool that you like using on a daily basis?
I use lots. One of my favorite apps is Calm.
Calm. Oh, I love the Calm app.
For mindset and just moments of like relief. And then I also like Focus at Will.
Focus at Will. I'm not familiar with that one. Is that similar?
But Focus at Will uses the science of music in the brain to help you identify music styles that help you focus.
Oh, interesting.
And I used it in the second half when I was writing the back half of my second book, and I dropped off like 30% of the time it took me.
Wow.
It helped me focus. So
you gave it the music. Well. So it partners up.
Yeah.
Somehow using artificial intelligence or things like that to figure out what kind of music you work best with.
Correct.
Wow.
Great. Focus at Will. Highly recommend.
Focus at Will. I'm going to get that today. That is cool. you just sold me. I'm like, I'm sold. Can you also suggest a book to our listeners? Do you have a book that you could suggest?
I have, my favorite communication book is called The Leadership and the Art of Conversation by Kim Crisco.
The Leadership and the Art of Communication.
Conversation.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Favorite book. You have to buy it used because it's out of print. I buy it in bulk used.
Do you give it as a gift to people?
I give it to everybody who comes in my company.
That's awesome.
If I'm working with in my book part of my job, I work with some CEOs on that, and I use it for that.
Right.
I also really like Pat Lencioni's The Advantage, which talks about organizational health and culture and why it's so, so important. Like, it doesn't matter what your strategy is. If you have no culture, you're wasting money.
Ooh.
So I really love Pat Lencioni's style of writing.
I'm going to put both those in the show notes. I appreciate you sharing that. Last questions here. At the end of a long day, do you have a favorite show or do you have something you like to do at nighttime to relax, to enjoy, for fun?
So I am going to tell you the truth, which I've never told anybody.
The Be Real Show.
So I'm a huge Jane Austen fan. Pride and Prejudice or Persuasion are my two favorite books. And there is a whole set of fan fiction based on these two works.
Really?
So, I mean, huge. And I like reading the Pride and Prejudice or the Persuasion fan fiction, which what it does, it goes to a certain point in the book and it makes one change and then follows the change. Instead of saying yes, he says no. Instead of saying, going left, he goes right.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so it's really familiar, but it has a twist. So I know the book and those two books inside out.
Right.
But the fan fiction takes that one thing and then changes one thing and then follows it through. So it's
familiar
and entertaining. So it doesn't require a lot of heavy lifting of my brain.
Right.
Which is what I'm looking for at the end of the day.
Yeah, after you've been lifting all day. You've been putting in that work all day. And the last thing is, what motivates you?
My family motivates me.
Oh, I love that.
I have my husband, obviously. We've been married for almost 22 years. I have two children, one's 20, one's 17. My 17-year-old has special needs and will never be independent.
Gotcha.
He can be a senior in high school this year. So you would see a picture of him and you would not know that he has special needs. And then he would open his mouth and you'd go, oh yeah, there you go. So I'm very focused on two things. One is making sure that my older child doesn't feel he or doesn't need to be fiscally responsible for my younger child. later in life, because they will probably both outlive me. And then two, making sure that I'm just doing good things, that I'm helping, you know, I think I'm on this planet to help people, help good people do great things. And that is the filter by which I choose to spend my time. So those two things get me up out of bed every day.
Well, I commend you tremendously for what you're doing for your family there.
Thank you.
And I love your energy. I love your passion. I know that you're going to continue to do more and more. I think that the big one for you is producing podcasts for people. I think that could be huge. I think that could be even way bigger of a business stream for you. And then I also envision you, like we talked about, sailing to Norway, sailing somewhere you want to go, my friend.
That seems very intimidating. Oh my goodness.
Well, let's start with sailing to Sausalito. Sailing to Sausalito first, and then to Norway on our next step. Yeah. But we really want to thank you again for your time today, because your energy and passion, and I know you're going to even have more success than you already are. Can you give our listeners one last real talk thought?
You know, the most important thing I think is to define your own success, and don't hold yourself to someone else's line of success. Decide what you think is successful and then shoot for that. And don't worry about what other people think.
Well, folks, you've been hanging out with Lee Carraher and Travis Too Tall and Huff. I want to thank you again for your time today, and keep being real. What another epic episode. And if you enjoyed the episode today, can you please do me a favor and subscribe to our podcast, The Be Real Show, on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform? And also take a little time today, if you don't mind, and give your boy T Huff a review. I would really super appreciate it. And thank you so much for listening today.